This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
That I'm going to share with you for 4 weeks, and I'll preach a series entitled Look Back, Leap Forward. I'll explain as we look at this verse in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Notice what it says. And for whatsoever things were written aforetime. Now, what was written aforetime? We're reading the New Testament. What was written aforetime was the Old Testament. The Bible, written by 40 different men, three different continents, three different languages, over a 1,500-year period, and not one contradiction. Now, I want you to understand, God never wrote but one book. Amen? God never wrote but one book, and there's only one book that's going to change your life. It's the Word of God. God wrote one book. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. So, the Old Testament, I know preachers that say the Old Testament's irrelevant. We shouldn't even preach. Shouldn't even preach from the Old Testament. How foolish. Look what he says. It was written for our learning, that through patience and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have edification or we might have hope. Amen? I want to talk to you for 4 weeks about look back, leap forward. Look back, leap forward. Now, I want you to understand something, folks. When we come to God's house, it's about worshiping God. It's about a vertical relationship. Amen? It's about worshiping God, and it's about sharing the Word of God. It's about worship, and it's about the Word of God. So, look back, leap forward. The foundation for what I'm going to preach for 4 weeks comes from a quote by Sir Winston Churchill. And this is what he said. He said, the farther backward we can look, the further forward we can see. The farther backward we can look, the further forward we can see. Dr. Jerry Falwell used to say, we got to live our lives by looking forward. But we understand life by looking back. We live our lives by focused ahead, but we understand it by looking back. In 2011, one of the greatest experiences of my life, I'm a preacher. In 2011, I went to Montreat, North Carolina. I had the wonderful privilege to go to Billy Graham's home, spend an hour with Billy Graham. All I did was ask Dr. Graham questions. And I remember I was getting ready to leave, and I said, Dr. Graham, I serve as a president of a denomination. I have pastors that are coming to me for counsel and direction and guidance. I said, what would be the word that I could give them from Billy Graham as I go back? What could I say to the young preachers that serve under me that Billy Graham told me to tell these young preachers? And Billy Graham looked at me, and he said, Benny, you go back and you tell every young preacher that you come in contact with, preach the cross. Preach the cross. Preach the cross. And I got in that vehicle and started down that winding mountain road, and I thought, what a wonderful opportunity to spend time with Billy Graham. But folks, I want you to know something. We have an opportunity to spend time with the great men and women in the Word of God. We have an opportunity. See, it's wise to learn from experience, but it's wiser to learn from the experience of others and not near as painful. And so what I want us to do, we're going to take people out of the Word of God. We're going to do what Romans 15, verse 4 says. It tells us to look back. Because if we look back, we can leap forward. We can have more productive lives. The Bible says we can have edification. The Bible says we can have hope. The Bible says we can have guidance and counsel if we just look at their lives. So what I want us to do, I want us to take 4 weeks and I want us to look at lives. And life number one, I want us to look at Elijah's example. Elijah's example. Now I want to make seven quick statements about Elijah. 7 quick statements about Elijah. First of all, this is the one that's probably the most encouraging to me. Elijah was just an ordinary person. Elijah was just an ordinary person. I want you to always remember, the best of men are men at best. You say, no, what do you mean, Pastor? He was an ordinary person. This is the guy that prayed and the rain came from heaven. This is the guy that raised up the widow's son. This is the guy that called down fire from heaven. This is the guy that did exploits. How can you say he was just an ordinary person? Well, the Bible says he was. Because James 5 and 17 says that Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. What does that mean? That means, folks, he was just a normal human being. I want to prove it to you. As I studied his life, I found out something. In 1 Kings chapter 18, the Bible says this, the hand of the Lord was upon him. But in 1 Kings 19, it says he was afraid and ran for his life. In 1 Kings 18, it says he was full of faith. But in 1 Kings 19, it says he was full of fear. In 1 Kings 18, he confronted 850 false prophets. But in 1 Kings 19, he fled from one woman. I mean, get real, folks. He could handle 850 men, but he couldn't handle one woman. There's a message there, amen? There's a series there, amen? How to handle the one woman in your life. Goodness. I don't understand. One woman, and by the way, folks, one woman's enough, amen? A man gets 40 years old and thinks he needs 2 20-year-olds. My God, you're not wired for 2 20s, amen? Listen, in 1 Kings 18, he prayed for God to be glorified. In 1 Kings 19, he gets under a juniper tree and says, God, I'm so low, I just want to die. That's this guy. That's this guy that God used. In 1 Kings 18, he became a leader of the people. In 1 Kings 19, he abandoned the people. See, folks, here's what I say. The Bible tells us this. The scripture tells us that I don't know much about him. He wore this big belt around his waist, according to the scripture. And according to the scripture, he was just a hairy guy. I mean, he was just a hairy man. That's what the Bible says, amen? He was just a hairy guy that wore this big belt around his girdle, around his waist. He was just an ordinary guy. You know what I believe, folks? I believe God uses ordinary people. I love what Abraham Lincoln said. He said, God must love common people because he made so many of them. 30 years ago when I came to Rock Springs Church, not long after I'd been here, I went to this conference. It was called Challenge 1000. And the speaker spoke, and then he said this. He said, all of you that believe that God has called you to build a church of 1,000 people or better, I want you to come down front. Now get this down, folks. You'll never be any bigger than your vision. You'll never be any bigger than your vision. Young people, listen to me. Some of these older ones I can't do anything with. But young people, listen to me. If you don't see it before you see it, you'll never see it. If you don't see it before you see it, you'll never see it. Jesus said, cast your nets out on the right side. The only thing that determined the size of their catch was the size of their nets. Believe God for big things and attempt big things. Believe God for big things and attempt big things. And the speaker spoke and he said, all those that think that God's called them to build a church of over 1,000 people, slip out. I was in the very back and I said to the guys with me, would you mind, excuse me? And they started laughing. Because see, they knew I pastored a church and the zip code was EIEIO. They knew I pastored a church in the middle of nowhere. They knew I pastored a church in Hooterville where the June bugs don't show up to August. They knew all about it. So they began to laugh. But it didn't deter me. I just kept walking, and I stood there as a kid, and I waited for that speaker to place his hands upon me. Because, folks, let me tell you something. This is what I believe. There is nothing special about me. I don't have any special ability. Young preacher, I don't have any special giftedness. I don't have it. I don't have a lot of gifts. But this is what I know. God uses ordinary people who will submit themselves. God uses ordinary people. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things when we surrender to Him. And I want to say to you, God wants to use your life. God wants to use your life to do great things. Quit putting yourself down. The Bible says, let the weak say I am strong. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You're somebody. The people that do know God shall be strong and do exploits. God uses ordinary people, and Elijah was just an ordinary person. Somebody came out here one time, and they said, after coming out there and hearing him, I don't understand it. I said, that's wonderful, because God gets the glory. If you can explain your ministry, it's probably not God's ministry anyway. Be a good tweet. Anyway, Elijah was an ordinary person. But I'll tell you something else about Elijah. Elijah was a man of passion. Elijah, I don't want to camp here too long. I really don't. But when Elijah comes on to the scene, folks, he comes on in 1 Kings chapter 17. And this is what it says. He goes before King Ahab. Now let me explain who Ahab was. He was the king. And he was married to Jezebel. Three most important decisions you're going to make in your life. Three most important decisions. Listen closely. Who's going to be my master? Who's going to be my master? No man can serve two masters. Some of you are writing down. Some of you are foolish enough to think you'll remember. You won't. Who's going to be my master? Second most important decision you'll make, who's going to be my mate? Yeah, it's going to make or break you. You say, oh, but we're so in love. No. Oh, God, if you could just see her. Oh, she just walks in the room and, oh. Let me tell you, come up real close, Vern. Every bit of that's going to pass. Amen? Oh, but Brother Benny, she looks like Wonder Woman. Yeah, but you let a little time pass. You might be wondering if she's really a woman. Oh, but oh, Brother Benny, you ought to see him. Oh, I wish you could see him. He is a hunk. Oh, I wish you could see him. He lights my fire. Oh, man. He is something else. He is a hunk. If you can get a little time, he'll probably end up a chunk. All that's not enough. No, I'm preaching good right now. Some of you are not receiving it, but I'm preaching good. I'm preaching good. You better find somebody that you connect with their heart. You better find somebody that loves Jesus. You better find somebody that you can talk to for 3 hours and it seemed like 15 minutes. You better have somebody that you have a deep feeling for that you're going to stand beside and they're going to stand beside you when all that other passes. By the way, this is good preaching. I got to finish that point. I didn't mean to share that. Who's going to be my master? Who's going to be my mate? And what's my mission going to be? Three most important decisions in your life. Who's going to be your master? Who's going to be your mate? What's my mission going to be? Elijah comes on the scene. Ahab, let me tell you what this cat's doing. He and Jezebel. They're erecting statues. They're erecting temples. They're erecting temples to Baal. And here's what they would do. They would take little children, folks. They would build a statue that looked like Baal. And inside, literally, inside, the stomach area, they would be metal. And they would put babies in there and roast them. Literally, not an exaggeration, as a sacrifice to this God that's dead named Baal. But Elijah comes on the scene. And you know what he says? He says, I'm here to represent the Lord God of Israel. That's not like your God. He's not dead. He's very much alive. He's alive. And if you read 1 Kings 19 verses 10 and 14, twice he said, I'm zealous for the Lord. What did he say, folks? He said, I've got passion. I've got passion. You won't accomplish much in your life without passion. You won't accomplish much without passion. Whatever you've got, be passionate about it. A young lady goes into a Dillard's, goes over to the perfume counter. There's an old lady behind the counter, and that young lady says, do you have Elizabeth Taylor's passion? She said, honey, if I did, I wouldn't be working here. John Wesley said, if a man or woman will get on fire for God, people will come and watch them burn. People will come and watch them burn. I preach too much. I'm going to a church, a First Baptist church tonight in preaching. I preach too much. But you know, every church I go in, this is what I learned. If they've got a snowman in that pulpit, there'll be icicles in that pew. If they've got a Dr. Jack Frost in the pulpit, there'll be icicles in the pew. Because if you're the leader, the passion begins with you. Listen, Dad, if you're not passionate about your family, don't expect them children to be passionate about your family. Mom, if you're not passionate about your family, don't expect the children to be passionate about the family. Sunday school teacher, if you're not passionate about your class, don't expect the students in the class to be passionate about the class. It all begins with you. And Elijah was a man of passion, but let me move on. I've got to move. Elijah was a man of purpose. From the time he comes on the scene, he's a prophet to Israel. I want you to understand, God created you on purpose because God created you for a purpose. God created you on purpose because God created you for a purpose. You say, Pastor, I don't have a clue why I was created. Let me give you four quick questions and we'll move to the next point. Number one, what do you enjoy doing? What do you enjoy doing? That's all I'm going to say. If you hate what you're doing, you're not doing what God wants you to do. If you're dreading every day at work, you're not doing what God wants you to do. You say, Pastor, I'm so glad I heard this message. I'm going to go in the morning and quit. Let me say something. I wouldn't recommend that. Don't put your airplane in the air till you have a place to land. Amen? But if you're miserable, it's a good indicator that's not what God wants you to do. It's not what God. What do I enjoy doing? And then second of all, what do others compliment me on? What do others compliment me on? I mean, I'm not talking about your mama. What do others compliment? Folks, we're so hypocritical in the church. Sometime a guy will speak and he'll be somewhere between bad and terrible. And we'll pat him on the back and say, you did so good. No, he didn't do good. He did terrible. Sometimes somebody will sing, oh, that's so wonderful. No, it wasn't wonderful. It was terrible. Sound like escapees from the funeral home. It wasn't. No. What do others compliment? Number three, what do I do that seems effortless to me? What do I do that seems effortless to me? Number four, what would I do if money didn't matter? Let me give you the fourth point. Elijah was a man of prayer. Elijah was a man of prayer. You know what's interesting? God showed me something as I was putting this message together. In 1 Kings, it says, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself. Look here. God said, Elijah, I'm going to use you. But the first thing you got to do is hide yourself. Go down by the brook and hide yourself. And then in 1 Kings 18 and 1, he said, Elijah, go show yourself. You want God to show yourself, you've got to hide yourself. Years ago, I was at the Elah Valley where David killed Goliath. And God showed me something. When David went against that giant, he said, "The Lord delivered me out of a paw of a lion. The Lord delivered me out of a paw of a bear. He'll deliver this Philistine into my hand." And I'm walking there, and God speaks to my heart. And he says, "Benny, where was God? Where was David at when the Lord delivered him out of a paw of a lion to paw of a bear?" He was alone, just him and God. And then he killed the giant. And God said to me, "You'll never be any more for me in public than you are for me in private. You'll never be any more for me in public than you are for me in private." And if we want God to show himself, we got to hide ourselves. That's why, folks, we've given 21 days just set aside to prayer and fasting. 21 days just to set aside, just to pray and to fast. And let me say this, folks. Somebody said, "Pastor, what's our greatest motivation to fast and pray?" Couple things. Somebody said, "Well, I'm fasting watching The Bachelor." Well, that's just common sense. That's not fasting. That's not fasting. "I'm not going to watch any more American Idol." That's not fasting. No. That's not fasting. Fasting is refraining from food. Jesus was here, and they said to Jesus, "Jesus, why don't your disciples fast?" And Jesus said these words. He said, "As long as I'm here, the bridegroom's here, they have no need to fast. But he said, I'm going to go away, and then they fast." Now get this, folks. "I'm going to go away." He said, "There's no need to fast as long as I'm right here beside them." What does that tell us? We fast more than anything for God's presence in our lives. We more than receiving anything, we fast and pray to be closer with the Lord. See, the motivation for your prayer life has got to be fellowship and relationship with him. Because if it's need-oriented, if it's need-driven, when the needs are not there, you won't be praying. It's got to be you seek the fellowship and you seek the relationship with him. But I want you to know, there's blessings, folks. There's blessings when we fast and pray. And Elijah was a man of prayer. He was a man of prayer. And if you read, God spoke to him. And the Bible says God spoke to him through a still small voice. And a better translation of that would be a gentle whisper. God whispered to Elijah. Now that woman back there on the back row, or that man on the back row, I can't whisper to, and they can't whisper to me, because we're too far apart. We got to get close in order to whisper. And if we want God to speak to us, we got to get close, because he can't whisper to us. Yeah, you can clap on that. He can't whisper to us. And let me tell you, what prayer and fasting does more than anything else, it weakens this fleshly man and it strengthens the spiritual man and it brings you closer to God. Elijah, fifthly, was a man of preparation. He went down to the brook of Cherith. He spent 3 years. Sixthly, Elijah was a man who trusted God's provision. And I say to you, as you approach this new year, there was a famine in the land, there was a drought in the land. And God told Elijah, "You go to that brook, I'm going to give you something to drink. You drink from that brook, I'm going to send ravens." By the way, unclean birds. Unclean birds. Sometimes God uses those things that we don't think are usable. Unclean birds. I'm going to use those unclean birds, and they're going to bring you some meat in the morning and in the evening. And then the brook dries up. And God says, "Go 100 miles down to Zarephath." I said all that to say this, folks. You can trust God this year to meet the provision of your life. You can trust God. Don't let anything be your source other than God. Don't let anybody be your source other than God. God is who Elijah trusted. And then lastly, Elijah was a man who developed a protege. Somebody said, "That person's a great leader." They're not a great leader unless they're developing other people. God told Elijah in 1 Kings 19:19, you go down there and there's a guy plowing in the field named Elijah. And you put your mantle on him. You put your mantle on him. Let me tell you something, folks. Some of us that are older, we ought to be doing everything we can to pour into the younger generation. We ought to be doing everything we can to put our mantle on them. That's the motivation of my life, is to help young people. The motivation of my life is to expose young people to the power and the presence of God, and that God can do great things in their lives if they will allow him to. Put your mantle on him. And scholars tell us, biblical scholars tell us, that Elijah and Elijah spent 6 years together. And if you read that story, and I'm going to preach about it next week, Elijah wouldn't let Elijah leave. There's two men. I'm almost done. There's two men that didn't die. Physical death. Enoch and Elijah. That's why I believe they will be the two witnesses of the tribulation period. Enoch walked with God and got to walking so close with God, the Bible says he was not. He was not. Not an astronaut, not a cosmonaut, but a was not. He was not. And then there was Elijah, taken to heaven in a whirlwind. And Elijah looked at Elijah and said, I'm getting ready to go to heaven. What do you want? What do you want? He said, Elijah, I'd like a double portion of your spirit. I'd like a double portion of your spirit. Folks, can I say something? Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. Not by power, not by might, but my spirit. So, Pastor, what do you want from our church? A spirit-filled church. There's nothing sadder than a full church of half-full people. Nothing sadder. I want a double portion of your spirit. Elijah said, well, when I go away, if you see me when I'm called up, you'll get it. And he saw him. And he got it. And I'll elaborate more on it next week. A double portion of his spirit. Now, as I've been studying this, folks, I found out that Elijah did 8 major miracles. But Elijah did 15. So I was a little confused. I'm not real good at math. I always figured if you were right 90% of the time, who cares about the other 5%? But 8 and 15. That wasn't double. And Elijah dies. And I thought, well, it didn't work out. But then the scripture comes alive. Look here, folks. There's this guy that dies. And they're looking for a place to bury him. And they drop him in a grave where they put Elijah. And his bones are there. And they drop this cat down into that grave. And when his body literally touches Elijah's bones, he's revived. Bonsai. Miracle number 16. It happened just like God said. Just an ordinary man that God used in an extraordinary way. And I want to say this to you as I close. You may just be an ordinary person, but God wants to use you in an extraordinary way. What do I need to do, Pastor Benny? Just surrender to God. Just say, God, this year you're going to have all of me. this year, God, you're going to have all of me. I'm going to quit straddling the fence. God, you're going to be Lord of my life. God, you've got all of me this year. This year, as I begin this new year, I just want to give myself fully to the Lord, because these are the days of Elijah, and God can use me in a great way if I just fully surrender myself to the Lord. God, I just give you all of me. I remember a preacher said one time, he said, I was preaching at a college, and I gave an appeal, just like I'm giving you right now, to come and fully give all of you to the Lord. And he said, I gave that appeal and said, come, give all of yourself to God. And he said, lo and behold, I looked down, and a man started coming down that aisle. And I looked at his legs, and he had wooden legs. He had pieces of wood. And I watched him walk down. And that prosthesis was literally pieces of wood. And that preacher said, he stood right in front of me. And he did this. And he said, that man with those wooden legs said to me, preacher, can God use half a man? And that preacher said, God can use half a man who's fully, wholly sold out to God, but he can't use a whole man who's halfway sold out to God. You know what God wants? God wants all of us in 2020. You know what 2020 vision is? 2020 vision is saying, God, you've got all of me. You've got all of me, afresh and anew, afresh and anew, afresh and anew. You know, folks, listen. Somebody said, how much of God can I have? All of God you give. You can have as much of God as you give to him of your life. You can have as much of God as you surrender yourself to him and say, God, you can have all of me. God, I surrender. I want to go all the way with you. These are the days of Elijah. I want to go all the way with you.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.